But you're not able to drive, and you're not
they took away my driver's license. Yes, so instead of 20/20, I got 22,000 vision. Well, I don't know what that's
22,000. Yeah, okay. All right.
It's a horrible enough number where they said you're not driving no more. So
yeah,
no more driver's license. And well, you know, I'll let the rest of the interview.
Before we get to that, and I'd love to we'll talk about this award and how you guided, and of course Dan guided a couple years ago as well. Let's just talk about the Knights of Columbus in general. Y'all's council, by your own admission, is pretty amazing. A council 11716, a Prince of Peace. You and Dan, you can talk about this. Three years in a row, this council has produced the Knight of the Year. I mean, this for the Dallas Diocese. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's right. Prince of Peace Council, 11716 in Plano, does a lot of charitable work. They help with wheelchair mission. They help with the support for seminarians, for priests, for the school. We do a big breakfast once a month. The wheelchair mission is, I think, our shining star. What we do is we have a wheelchair Sunday where we ask parishioners for donations, and for $150, this provides a wheelchair for a needy person. Mm. And over the years, the donations have grown. Last year, Prince of Peace, from donations from the parishioners, they took in
$165,000. $165,000, and the wheelchair is $150.
Yes.
And that pays for a lot of wheelchairs.
A lot of wheelchairs. Yeah. A lot of wheelchairs.
And is there that much demand for wheelchairs?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Here's what happened. several years ago, you guys know a lot of the people in the audience might remember Jerry Lewis.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
from he was a comedian, he was a actor, and he also did the muscular dystrophy telethons.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend, right?
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
He would raise money for muscular dystrophy. And when he was raising money, his son, Chris Lewis, was right there with him. And Chris, when he was about 12 years old, was involved in the muscular dystrophy telethon. Now Chris is in his 60s. But about 20 years ago, a businessman approached Chris and said, "Chris, when I travel the world, I see such a need for wheelchairs. And you used to help with muscular dystrophy with your dad. Can you get wheelchairs out across the world?" And Chris said, "Yes, I can, because I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus. And I can go through the Knights of Columbus and Rotary Clubs, and we can start to get wheelchairs out across the world."
Yeah.
So that's how the wheelchair program started at the Knights of Columbus. Chris went and proposed it to the head of the Knights of Columbus, and they said, "This is a worthy cause. Let's do this." So the way it happened at Prince of Peace was they presented it at one of the Knights of Columbus meetings, and someone said, "I think we should donate $150 for a wheelchair."
One wheelchair. Yeah.
And the person that was the wheelchair director at the time, his name was Bill Weber, he said, "Nope, not good enough. I'm going to go to our priest and ask if we can do a pulpit announcement to ask parishioners for wheelchairs." And so that's what he did. And the first time they did this, I think they took in something like $10,000 or $12,000 the very first time.
Which is pretty impressive. Yeah.
Very impressive. After about 4 years, we do it once a year. And after about 4 years, it grew to about $40,000. And our priest went on a wheelchair distribution trip to Mexico. We mainly help the children's hospitals in Mexico because it's nearby and there's such a huge need. And when the priest came back, that was Father Jim. He said, "What a wonderful program. Hey, parishioners, we need to get behind this." And it grew from there. The last 5 years, we've taken in over $100,000 each year for the past 5 years for wheelchairs.
And was this year the record for it? You mentioned it was was like $160,000. Is that what you said?
$165,000. This was the largest we've ever done. Mary Immaculate, I got to give kudos to them. Mary Immaculate Knights of Columbus are second place in the world. They did about $150,000 last year.
Oh, is that right?
It's incredible.
Yeah. I know Father Alphonse and they have an amazing parish as well. So that is so cool. And let me just kind of ask you both about your decision to become a knight. Dan, in your case, 12 years ago, Alfredo, 16 years ago. And because I know there's a lot of guys listening right now, and they're like, "I'm too busy, you know, I got a lot going on," and I'm one of them. I don't have much time. But why'd you become a knight, and how has it blessed you,
Dave? I might get a little emotional here.
All right, that's okay.
My dad was a Knight of Columbus, but he never asked me to become a knight. And he was also what is called a Grand Knight. That means you're in charge of your council in that city. To become a Knight of Columbus, you have to be an 18-year-old male, and you have to be a practical Catholic. So I was one of those Catholics that always just went to church. I'd sit in the back of Mass, and then after church, I would leave. I'd volunteer for a few things here and there. But I live very close to my church, and one day I was walking home to my church from my church with my bulletin in my hand. My next-door neighbor, Andrew, he said, "Hey, Dan, do you go to that church over here?" I go, "Yeah, I go to Prince of Peace." He goes, "My wife and I were brought up Catholic, but we've gotten away from the church. But as you know, she has cancer. So we now want to get back involved in the church." And I said, here's the bulletin. There's names on here of people you can contact. If you want to talk to me, you can talk to me. But I think it's a great idea to get involved in the church. So he did. They got up to date on their sacraments. And then a few months later, his wife died of cancer. And then Andrew said, "Hey, Dan, I want to do more with the Catholic Church. I'm going to join the Knights of Columbus." And I said, "Andrew, if you join, I'll join."
Oh, wow.
So that's how I joined.
Yeah, gosh. And it took the passing, the cancer diagnosis and the passing of his wife. And then that brought you in. Praise God for that. Yes. Well, thank you so much. Let me turn to you, Alfredo. Same question. I know when you joined, you didn't have the limitation on your eyesight back then. And so tell us about why did you become a knight and how has it blessed you?
Well, back then I was working for Encore Electric, and my boss back then sang at the choir at St. Luke's. I think it's in Irving.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me about, we were talking about Catholic Church in general. And I told him, "You sing in the choir, really, with that voice that you got?" <It's> like, anyway, he heard me sing. He said, "Well, it's a lot better than yours, right?"
I can tell this conversation's going really well.
Yeah. So, and then he's my boss, so that kind of delayed our promotions at Encore. But no, not really. So we ended up, I was living in Denton at the time. And so I joined the Knights of Columbus up there. And then life happens. I was working at Encore Electric. And then I ended up, separating and getting divorced. And I ended up living with my sister, and they were members of St. Mark's. So during that time frame, I was in and out of Denton Knights of Columbus. I'd go every now and then to the meetings. You know, just I wasn't really that active, but I would pay my dues. Then fast forward to St. Mark's. When I was there at St. Mark's, I ended up being at St. Mark's, going to the church, doing the Spanish and the English with my sister. Then she passed. And when she passed, I went ahead and, continued working at Encore Electric and still going sporadically to St. Mark's. But it wasn't until I started to lose the vision on my left eye that I noticed that, I need to take care of this. And when I totally got retired from Encore, and they said, "We're going to take away your driver's license, and, you can't drive no more, so... Encore is going to do with you what they're going to do." So at Encore, first of all, Encore Electric is a very good company, but everybody needs a driver's license because it's a utility company that provides an electrical service to the people. So we all need a driver's license. So I couldn't have a driver's license no more. So they said, "Just go ahead and you have a good pension and, retire and, have a good life, enjoy your life, And being that, my niece said, "Well, now that's great news. Now we can get rid of your pickup truck that's taking space in my garage and get that pickup truck out of here." So I called the Knights of Columbus and got reactivated through the Knights of Columbus at Prince of Peace. Bill Weber, who was in charge of the wheelchair mission, said, "Hey, we're going to Mexico. You care to join?" So I said, "That sounds like a fun trip." And 2021 is when I went to Mexico. So I started to become active with the Knights at Prince of Peace since 2021. And then, the rest was history. Once you become active with the Knights of Columbus, and I went down there with Dan Stoffel, and I got to meet him and got to meet the clergy at Prince of Peace. And then, it just grew. The activities are just so much activities at through the Knights of Columbus, through Prince of Peace. It's a beautiful experience. And I'm pretty sure other parishes are the same way, but Prince of Peace is special. in the sense that there's always something going on. We've got St. Vincent de Paul, we got the Prayer Shawl Ministry, we got the confirmation classes, we got Bible study classes. So there's a lot of activity there. When we're doing our meetings through the Knights of Columbus, that we also do men's formation, that kind of helps you grow in your spiritual life as a Knights of Columbus. So as a Knights of Columbus, you work your way up through the ranks, and now me and Dan are fourth degree Sir Knights. But when you join, you work up the ranks from first, second, and third degree, and you know, you become a fourth degree, and you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, sure is. And now you're Knight of the Year, and I want to make sure we get plenty of conversation about this. And okay. So thank you, Alfredo.
You're welcome.
Alfredo Gamboa, Knight of Columbus for 16 years. He's a key member of the Prince of Peace Council 11716 in Plano, along with Dan Stoffel, who has served. He's currently a trustee. He's also been a Grand Knight and a District Deputy for the Knights of Columbus as well. So Dan, take us back. You're the Knight of the Year a couple years ago. Another gentleman was it last year from Prince of Peace. And then when it comes to the nominating time, tell us why you thought of Alfredo. And then you wrote this 2.5-page letter kind of singing his praises, and it's way too much for me to read.
Oh, yes.
Tell me that process, and why do you thought Alfredo would be a good choice?
Well, the award comes from the Dallas Diocese Committee for the Knights of Columbus, and they give this award every year. And to my surprise, a couple of years ago, my friend Bill Weber submitted a nomination for me. I do a lot of things with the Knights of Columbus. He contacted my wife and said, hey, can you check Dan's calendar and see what he's done? So she put together a summary for me, including my wheelchair trips, and I was awarded the Knight of the Year. The next year, it went to our past Grand Knight, Ben Owani, who is also a district deputy, very involved in the Knights of Columbus and the Catholic Church. And then with my interaction with Alfredo, it was very easy to nominate him because he does so much, but people don't know about it. I'm actually his chauffeur a lot of the time, so I can hear about a lot of the things that he does. For example, when he first joined the Knights of Columbus, within about 3 months, we were making the plans for the wheelchair trip to Mexico. We were going to go to Tampico, Mexico, to deliver wheelchairs to needy children. And I found out that Alfredo and his niece Debbie are going along. I said, you're hardly a member of our council. You're already going along. He goes, yeah, I'm all in. So that's when I first got to meet him. And we went on a wheelchair mission last year to Saltillo. And because Alfredo can't see very well, I was helping him check out of his hotel room. And as he's checking out, I said, hey, Alfredo, you forgot some things over there on the desk. And he goes, no, Dan, I'm leaving those for the maid. I said, what? He goes, yeah. I said, there's some shoes over there and some socks, some pants. And there was a very nice note written in Spanish about how Jesus loves you and a little quote from the Bible and some pesos. And I go, who does that? The only person that would do that is someone that's going to be Knight of the Year.
Yeah.
So it was very easy to do.
So you handed me these three sheets of paper, and it says, Candidate for Knight of the Year, Alfredo Gamboa. Please consider Alfredo Gamboa as a worthy candidate for the 2024-2025 Knight of the Year. And I'll just read a couple of them, and I think it's interesting because after a page and a half, you kind of put another little point and say, oh, by the way, he's blind after all these. And so it starts off, Alfredo, currently the inside guard for Council 11716 at Prince of Peace. He works in prison ministry. He attended the July 4th Color Corps. He attended the Clergy Appreciation. A leader of the Prince of Peace Corpus Christi Eucharistic Procession. I mean, on and on and on. He prays the Rosary daily. He volunteered to place small flags around the parish. I mean, even for somebody with no disabilities, this is a lot. And then in the next paragraph, you say, oh, by the way, he's blind. And so did you have any kind of feedback from the committee did they say this is kind of a no-brainer? This guy's amazing, and he's doing this all with a disability, right?
Absolutely. The committee consists of four guys, and they came back to me later and said, Dan, we're reading this, and we realize that this knight is very involved in things. And then when we see that it's Alfredo and he's blind, it's like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
No-brainer.
And Alfredo, I've mm-hmm. never suffered any kind of, you know, mm-hmm. You know, loss of a blindness, mm-hmm. like what you have, the mm-hmm. loss of eyesight. But I would imagine you can go one of two ways. You can either sulk and maybe get mad at God and, you know, say, why me? Or else you can go the complete opposite direction and say, I'm going to make the best of this. Clearly, you've chosen the second path. Tell us about that decision. When you found out that you were losing your vision, mm-hmm. did you go through a time of despair or maybe upset with God? Or did you immediately say, I'm going to make the best of this?
Well, you know, let me just say that I would like to credit the United States Marine Corps for that. It's amazing. The discipline, the outlook, the it's just the training that I received when presented in that situation. You don't have time to sulk, at least in my shoes.
So you're a Marine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So,
okay.
You know, we're going to take that battle. We're going to take that hill. We're going to, you know, hit the ground running. What's next? You know, I don't have time to be thinking about, sulking about that. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do. And there's a reason why God chose that path for me and the reason why I'm in that situation. So I took it to the cross and I gave it to him. I said, okay, here, I'm here, right? So I have whatever vision I got, I'm going to dedicate it to you. Mm. So in that aspect, boy, did he ever, right?
Yeah.
He really showed me the scriptures. He really showed me his presence. He really showed me my brothers and sisters. So when you have that type of vision being given to you that's left after he's taken away your other vision, you got nothing but to do all those things that you do for your brothers and sisters.
Yeah. So, you know, Dan wrote this out, and there's a lot of things you do. Can you kind of maybe highlight two or three of the volunteer things that you do in the Dallas Diocese that and that mean a lot to you and why you chose those? So what are some of the things that you do on a regular basis that mean a lot to you, and why did you choose those?
Prison ministry comes to mind because it involves being in scripture. It involves study. It involves being up to date with the current events. And that being said, also through St. Vincent de Paul, through the food ministry, through Catholic Charities, being involved in the food donations, the food pantries at St. Mark, through the Dallas Diocese. That also has a lot to do. That's important for me because it involves prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Mm. Because of that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, that is what really makes it to where I'm able to accomplish the prison ministry, the food pantry, and that's dear to my heart.
Yeah,
because God is giving me a vision every morning. Okay, here's your next task. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the scripture I want you to read. Here's what I want you to say to the food pantry, the people that are in line to get food. The prison ministry, here's I want you to talk to the inmates. Here's what I want you to say in the Knights of Columbus meeting. He has given me that vision, our Heavenly Father, for me to accomplish that. And I'm living that every day through the radio. I make the most out of everything. So to answer your question, I don't have time to sulk. I don't have time to have a pity party. Every day I'm active. I'm actively looking for the presence, looking for his word, what is next. And he gives it to me. He gives it to me, and it's about obedience, mm-hmm. Repentance, staying in the state of grace, going to church. All of that is very important for me to be an active member through the Dallas Diocese, through the Knights of Columbus, through St. Vincent de Paul, through Catholic Charities. I have to be ready. And that's all part of Marine Corps training, or really any kind of military training. But anybody can really do it once you decide to do it.
Yeah.
So if you have a disability, don't sulk.
We got about a minute and a half total.
Okay. So. Let me tell you one more story that he left out. He's a kind of a humble guy. We help at St. Vincent de Paul organization with Prince of Peace. We take in about $10,000 a month to help people that are homeless and need help with utilities. He helped a man that came from Venezuela, and he helped him get a job here. This man was so grateful, he came up to Alfredo several months later and said, "Alfredo, I was a pastor down in Venezuela. Here is my Spanish Bible that helped me get through this treacherous journey." That was one of the things too.
Well, that is awesome. Congratulations!
Thank you. It's
a very exciting, and I'm so blessed. And also, I know you know one thing that you can't do this on your own. I mean, you couldn't get up here even for this interview without Dan as your chauffeur, as you mentioned. And so, Dan.
Chauffeur?
You are a blessing, and congratulations. Two of the Knights of the Diocese, the Knight of the Year in the Dallas Diocese, Dan, a former Knight of the whole state of Texas, and so quite impressive. So thank you for both of you for being here today for this interview. This has been the interview
of the
week. And I always say this is an eclectic show because you just don't know from week to week what kind of topics we're going to have. I've had all kinds of topics on this program, and we're very blessed to have you both in the studio. If you have any suggestions for future interviews, please email me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And I am so grateful that you're listening. And also, thank you for supporting Guadalupe Radio also, because without your support, we can't do interviews like this.
Thank you,
introduce you to cool people like these two guys.
Thanks to
Cecil Anderson for running the board. And that's going to do it for the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
God bless you.
Would you like to experience a true renewal of the Spirit on a Harvest Journeys pilgrimage? You can walk in the footsteps of Jesus, Mary, and the saints. Pray at the sacred sites of Fatima, Lourdes, Italy, the Holy Land, and beyond, and encounter places where faith has been lived for centuries. Each pilgrimage is centered on reflection, fellowship, and a deeper encounter with God. You can visit harvestjourneys.com to book your pilgrimage. That's harvestjourneys.com, a sponsor of the GRN.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network, 9:10 a.m. to the east, 11:40 to the west, and we're glad that you are listening to us. And I am delighted to have in studio with me not only the U.S. director of a wonderful pilgrimage company called Harvest Journeys. They're located at harvestjourneys.com. But Lisa Colgan, who is the U.S. director, not only is that, but she is a former across-the-street neighbor of mine when I was a little tiny kid, and she was even younger than me. And it's so cool to reunite with her, and both of us kind of doing our thing here in North Texas to build up the body of Christ. And what a cool job she has working for HarvestJourneys.com. And by the way, they are becoming new sponsors on this station as well. So we're so thankful to Lisa and excited to learn more about Harvest Journeys. And if you're considering pilgrimage, this might be a good fit for you. So Lisa, welcome and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's so great to be here. And we're excited about our upcoming partnership with you all. And I'm excited to reconnect with you as well.
Yeah, I remember when we were just little tots and running around Fallbrook Drive in Dallas and all that. And of course, you know, many, many decades later, tell us a little bit about yourself, your faith background, anything biographical that might help people to get to know you a little bit better.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. I'm a fifth generation Italian Catholic. I was fortunate enough to go through 13 years of private school. It was K through 6 at St. Thomas Aquinas, and then 7th and 8th at St. Patrick's, and then Ursuline Academy. So that was really a blessing in my life to attend those years of private school. I got some great faith formation. And then kind of when I went off to college at Texas Tech, I graduated and lost touch with my faith a little bit. But I think, you know, that's kind of typical. I came back and I was sitting in church and I heard a announcement for the Paris retreat. And so I went on that retreat. I didn't really understand it. I didn't know why I was going, but that kind of showed me what I was missing out as far as my faith goes, what I was missing out on. And so I rededicated myself to faith. And then shortly after that, I went on pilgrimage to Israel, which is kind of the major pilgrimage for our faith. And while I was on that trip, I had a profound kind of encounter with Jesus surrounding forgiveness and the cross. And after that, I just realized, you know, I'm rededicating my life. It kind of set my path straight and came back. And now I just, you know, volunteer and kind of get back and do what I can for the faith.
Yeah. How interesting that a big turning point of your life was on pilgrimage. And here you are now promoting pilgrimages.
Absolutely.
With Harvest Journeys. And what year was that you went to Israel?
So I went to Israel about in 2010.
Okay, 2010. That was a big moment in your life. Am I right that aren't you related to Bishop Duca?
What
is that relationship?
Yes, Bishop Duca is my second cousin. So he and my mom are cousins, our grandfathers are brothers. And so growing up, you know, we had a priest in the family, which that was very
special.
And
I remember because Father Duca back then, Father Michael Duca, was at St. Patrick's. And I just remember he would be like hanging out at y'all's house. And I was
Absolutely.
Like, wait a second. And then all of a sudden he becomes bishop. Is it Lafayette? Or he's a bishop out in Louisiana
he's
now.
He's the bishop of Baton Rouge
Baton Rouge. And I know Bishop Desitel from locally. He's over in Louisiana as well. So how cool to have a bishop who's a blood relative of yours. Now, okay, so that's your personal kind of faith background. And thank you for sharing that. And by the way, Lisa's a parishioner now at St. Thomas Aquinas in Dallas.
St. Thomas, of course, because
you went to school there for the first part of your grade school years. How about professionally? You graduate from Tech, you know, and what have you done professionally leading up to the position you're in now?
So after graduation, I started my career in fundraising. I worked for a U.S. Senator, the Dallas Symphony, and Ursuline Academy on fundraising campaigns. And then I moved over to marketing, and I spent about 25 years in sponsorship, event, and media advertising sales. And I spent a little time at a nonprofit before connecting with the Harvest Journeys team, where I got my position as the U.S. director, where I'm serving now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it was really a God thing for me to get connected with Harvest Journeys. I was at my former position, and I was at lunch, and we were talking to one of my colleagues, and we said, you know, if we could do anything, what would we do? And I said, I would be in Catholic travel. And I got back to my desk, and there was an email from my good friend Christina. She had heard about this opportunity and knew about my passion for travel, knew about my passion for the faith, and recommended me. So, you know, shortly after that, I met with the owner. He came in from Australia to kind of start the U.S. office because we've been in Sydney, operating in Sydney for 40 years. And they just decided to open the U.S. office in March of 2024. So I met with him, and he hired me to be the U.S. director.
All right. So the Harvest Journeys is a Australian-based, Sydney, Australia-based company, been around for about 40 years.
Correct.
And then they decide to open up operations in America, which is a great decision because people in America love to travel. There's a lot of money here.
Right.
And then they decide to put it in Dallas, or is it because they want Lisa Colgan and she just happens to be in Dallas?
They made their decision based on actually the Catholic Creatives Conference. Some of the team members from Australia came over and attended that conference. And when they were there, they heard a presentation from Undivided Life. And that's when they decided that we were going to partner. They also heard a speech from Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And so at that point, our owner decided we're going to office in Irving, Texas at Lucid, and we're going to use we're going to invite Deacon Harold to come on our pilgrimages with us to kind of get the name out and lead some of our pilgrimage for us. So the plan was already in place. And then when they were ready to open the office, they kind of executed on that plan to office in Lucid for the Catholic connections.
Yeah.
We call it Vatican Valley. And then, you know, work with Deacon Harold.
And just for people who don't know, because we've done some live broadcasts out there before, Jeff Schaffelbein, Undivided Life, which you mentioned a moment ago. And this is, you know, Lucid goes beyond Irving. You know, Flip Howard owns Lucid. Mm-hmm. And you've got these two floors in this office building in Irving that pretty much are all these Catholic apostolates. Young Catholic professionals are there,
right.
And the Catholic gentlemen, and Finding Project Calcutta, and it's just an amazing place. And what a great place for you guys to land. And to be there in the midst of all this cool Catholic stuff going on. So, all right, well, so we've talked about Harvest Journeys. Is there anything else about the history of it? Or are you in any other countries besides Australia and America? Or is it international? Or how much so?
So our headquarters, you know, we're in Sydney. And that's where we've been operating for 40 years. We really only have the two offices. But, you know, we work with operators around the world. So we are global in that sense that we can send people anywhere around the world, any holy destination. We have over 129 destinations that we send people to. So we've got contacts all around the world.
Oh, wow. So you are the American operations.
I have one coworker. So it's a team of two right now. We're growing. I'm really trying to get our name out. You know, the pilgrimage space is so popular now and very competitive. And while we have, you know, we are the go-to connection for Sydney. You know, we work with the diocese, the Catholic schools, all of the, you know, we're very well known there. We're just getting our name out in the U.S.
Yeah, and it's, you got to be, you know, and you are a very outgoing person. You got to meet a lot of people. Yeah, right. So what is the job like now for you as far as you look at the whole country and here you are, Lisa Coggan, basically trying to get American operations up and running. I mean, it's what is the strategy? How do you do it?
So it is a big job. I mean, it operates as a startup. So while we do have all the backing we need from our team in Australia, it's really, you know, I have a two-person team, myself and my coworker, Kelly, and we're here to, you know, contact priests, get connected with parishes, get connected with schools, ministries, anyone who wants to do a group of 15 or more. So we try to get the word out that we can, you know, we're full service. So we handle all of the itineraries. We collect the payments. We handle all the on-the-ground logistics. We provide guides. And then we use our expertise to make sure that, you know, we're providing that genuine pilgrimage experience. So mm-hmm. we're selling, you know, we're marketing ourselves. We're making connections with organizations so that we can have those groups, maybe high-profile groups on pilgrimage to help us get the word out. And then using our networks. And then, of course, there's the operations side, which, as you heard, I'm a marketer. I'm a marketing background.
So
we're learning about, you know, all the different laws that we have to abide by to sell travel in the U.S. You know, each state has a different law. So we're doing that.
Yeah.
So it's really just starting the business from the ground up in the U.S.
Yeah. And I see you around a lot. Of course, a couple weeks ago, I was at a CIRA club meeting speaking, and there you were. And so Lisa Coggan, U.S. Director, HarvestJourneys.com is the website, HarvestJourneys.com, Australian-based, but now starting up operations in America. So you mentioned 129 destinations. Mm-hmm. Does that mean 125 different pilgrimages? What are the pilgrimages that you're offering now? What's hot? Tell us about that.
So we operate two different ways. One, we do custom pilgrimages, but then we also, if you go onto our website, you can see kind of the standard offerings that we have. And these are set pilgrimages that anybody in the world can sign up for. And they go to the main destinations like, you know, the Holy Land when it's safe, Lourdes, Fatima, Rome, those types of places. We've just recently added South Korea, Japan, and Egypt, which, you know, you might not think about those for pilgrimage, but there's so many different martyr sites and monasteries and Marian sites that are so worth seeing in some of these kind of off the beaten path pilgrimage destinations. So we do that. We also, as I mentioned, we're leading, we have Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers and the Franciscans of the Eternal Word. They're leading some pilgrimages for us, and those will go to Ireland, Mexico, Japan, and Italy this year. And then we also, you know, as I said, we partner with different groups. So we have a great pilgrimage coming up with Faith Fitness Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Where I work with Father Ignacio on that. And we're going to Mexico City. That one's
for... Are you going on that one?
I might. That is always TBD. I'm ready to go anytime. But it just depends on how it works out. But that's for young adults, 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
So it's a very specialized pilgrimage for them. And then we also have a great one going to Peru with Vera Aqua Vera Vida. That's a nonprofit that provides clean water into Peru. And they're a mission organization. So the first part of it will be a mission trip. And then the last part will be a pilgrimage where you can walk in the footsteps of Pope Leo all throughout Peru and go to Machu Picchu. And so that's a really awesome one that's coming up in August.
Yeah.
And then I'm hoping I get to go to Japan this year because, as I said, we're getting so many requests for that. And that's one of the places that I haven't been.
Now, do y'all do exclusively Catholic pilgrimages? Or
exclusively.
If somebody just says, hey, I want to do a pilgrimage. I mean, well, it wouldn't really be a pilgrimage if it wasn't, you know, faith-based, right? So you don't just do a sightseeing trip to London or something like that. Okay, so it's exclusively Catholic. That is awesome.
Yes.
And you mentioned the Holy Land and when it's safe. My understanding is that it did open up this year. Is this like green light or maybe yellow light, or what is the status of the Holy Land?
So unfortunately, right now, we would not send groups in. We have to follow all the U.S. advisories, the travel advisories, and that's how we operate. Some of the airspace is closed right now, especially out of Australia. So we don't, there's liability. Like, we wouldn't really send people in right now. Although we know, you know, tourism and traveling groups never really stopped in Israel. We went in November and it was phenomenal. This past November, it was very peaceful there and there were really no signs of war at all. The Christians there are so happy to see us because, you know, they really need our support.
Oh, yeah.
Going into those communities. And that's one good thing about pilgrimage, right? Like, you're learning about the universal church and seeing how different Christian communities worship, live. You know, you're eating their food, learning about their culture, but also supporting the Christian communities that are struggling.
Yeah.
And maybe in poverty or being persecuted. And that's another reason why pilgrimage is kind of a mission. You know, we want to go in and help those Christian communities where we can and support them and learn about them.
Right. Because tourism is a big part of their economy.
They
rely on it. I can only imagine how the Christian communities in the Holy Land have suffered so much for the last couple of years. So you mentioned some of the more lesser known pilgrimage sites. You mentioned, I think, Korea and Japan, which doesn't come to mind right off the bat for me. Like, I'm going to take a pilgrimage to Japan, although there's some great, you know, obviously Catholic roots in Japan as well. Any others that come to mind, like really obscure ones that people wouldn't naturally think of?
So I wouldn't say it's obscure, but one of my favorite ones that I've been on that a lot of people haven't been on yet is Medjugorje.
Oh, yeah. I was there last summer.
Oh, so you know. I mean, the thing about it is it's probably the most peaceful place I've ever been.
Yeah.
It's non-commercial. And the thing that I think is amazing about that is the visions are happening still.
Yeah.
So in our lifetime, I mean, you can go and see this event happening and unfolding and the miracles and graces that come with that. I think because it's still happening, it hasn't been authenticated yet as far as the visions go, but it has been, you know, the Pope says that it is he's approved the pilgrimage destination and recognizes the fruits that come from it. So, you know, if you can get to Medjugorje, I would.
What is it, Nihil Obstat? Or no, wait, what is it, like, nothing stands in the way is what they've declared officially. Like, it's not at the level of, like, a Lourdes Fatima, but they're saying, hey, there's nothing that we can see that would prevent us from allowing pilgimages there. And I went there as well, and I agree.
Yeah,
it was extremely peaceful place. So you numerous trips to Medjugorje every year, would you say? Or how many opportunities?
As a company, we offer 2 per year.
Okay.
So, but then again, like, if you are a custom group, you can pick your dates and destinations, and we'll structure the trip for whenever you want to go, wherever you want to go.
Speaking of custom trips, let's talk about one that you and I have talked about. I have a great devotion to St. Thomas Aquinas, and I just love his life. And he traveled, and he taught in Paris, and of course, born in Italy, and went to various places throughout his life. If somebody has, you know, they're just, you know, John Q. Public, but they have a great devotion to Therese or, you know, what have you. So they could call you and say, hey, I want to put a pilgrimage together.
Yes.
Tell us about that and what's involved in what do they need to do and what do they need to come to you with?
So anyone who wants to do that, we would welcome that. They would call me and we would work through the itinerary. You know, I would listen for what is important to them, their must-sees, and then we would use our experience to structure the itinerary so that it works with logistics and things like that. And then we would make sure we get a guide who understands, you know, the importance of the pilgrimage, understands the history, culture, can speak to the destinations. And then we would try to find an expert like yourself, because anytime we can include an expert, that adds another whole dimension to the pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really appreciated and fascinating for the people when they can learn about, you know, the faith or a particular saint or what actually happened there.
Yeah.
Our guides are great. I mean, they are phenomenal. But then somebody who can take that a little bit further, who's immersed in it, you know, that always makes the pilgrimage extra special. So we would, you know, welcome that for anyone who wants to structure any kind of pilgrimage like that or see certain destinations or, you know, even if it's not on our website, we create all kinds of custom pilgrimages.
Yeah. HarvestJourneys.com is the website. HarvestJourneys.com. Lisa Coggan, the U.S. director, working right here in North Texas as well. Are all of your pilgrimages land pilgrimages, or do you do any, like, river cruises or, you know, boats or anything like that?
So we're starting to enter the Catholic cruise arena.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very exciting. Up until this point, it's been land only. But, you know, as I said, you know, that's where we see it moving.
Yeah.
And so we are probably going to be up and running with that for 2027.
Okay. Okay. Exciting. Now, in the time that you've been with Harvest Journeys and you've been able to probably talk to some people that go on pilgrimages, what is the spiritual benefit? What do people get out of it? You said you went to Israel in 2010. I know you yeah. kind of alluded to the fact that you've been to Medjugorje. Why would somebody do this? I mean, I know it can be expensive, but if people can afford it, why would somebody put out that kind of money to do that? What are the benefits?
Well, we know pilgrimage is an ancient spiritual practice. It has so many different graces, benefits. It changed my life. And this is something that I hope everybody gets the opportunity to do. It's really an opportunity to disconnect from your daily life. And when you do that, you allow space for reflection, for healing, for deeper prayer. And then I think, you know, when you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, Mary, and the saints, seeing those sights that we've been reading about for our entire life, that brings your faith, it grows your faith deeper in a way that nothing else can. And so there's a benefit in that too. Also, we've seen great healing and great miracles from pilgrimage. I've witnessed, mm-hmm. you know, people coming back to the church. You know, they might be on pilgrimage just because, you know, a family member's going, or they think it might sound fun, and they come away, you know, really rededicated to the faith, because they've had these encounters with the Lord that just haven't been possible, you know, here in their daily life. And so I think that's a benefit. We also have people who bring their intentions, right? Like they're yeah. either praying for a family member who's falling away from the faith, or they're seeking guidance or direction, and then seeking healing.
Yeah.
And we had an incredible story, a witness of faith, because we had in Lourdes, when we took our group to Lourdes, we had a woman who was in a wheelchair, and she had been in a wheelchair for many years. She couldn't walk. And she went to the baths, and she said she heard a voice say, "Get up and walk." And she did. And now
really?
She walks.
This is on one of your pilgrimages.
This is on one of our pilgrimages to
Lourdes. Right?
So we actually have this witness. She is now so passionate about, you know, the faith, and she travels around and tells her story and talks about pilgrimage. And we've seen this happen many times. And, you know, the second miracle is that she actually met her husband on that pilgrimage.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
She married our guy.
She got her money's worth, didn't she?
She got healing and her husband.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
that is awesome.
Just an incredible story.
Yeah.
Doesn't even seem real. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
But we, you know, that's a story that we've witnessed. And there's all kinds of things like that. But I think also, too, it's important, you know, miracles of faith where you,
yeah.
like what happened to me. I mean, I came back kind of on fire for the faith, and it just set my path in a different direction. And, you know, I think that's definitely a benefit. But also, too, you know, I kind of mentioned the universal church and how when you go visit these different communities, you see how they worship, you see how, you know, they eat, their art. And that just lets us know that we're a part of something way bigger and more powerful than just our local communities. And so I think that's always good for tolerance and peace, which, you know, we definitely need these days. And then also too, you know, when you see these amazing sights and you have these encounters with Jesus, and you're just spending 12 days praying, you know, going to daily mass, praying, you have a priest with you, so you can have the sacraments whenever you want and get that spiritual guidance. When you do that with your fellow pilgrimage, you're bonded for life.
Mm-hmm.
So you come back with all these Catholic connections that lasts a lifetime.
Yeah.
So that's one of the major benefits.
I'm glad you said that, because I've been on, you know, maybe three pilgrimages in my life, not too many of them. But when I meet somebody that I was on pilgrimage with, it's a different relationship.
Right.
It is, you know, and the conversation always goes there immediately. Remember when we were on the Danube? Mm-hmm. Remember when we went to Medjugorje? And it just changes the relationship.
Absolutely.
And you have a friend for life because you've been able to experience beautiful things with them. And I get excited. I'm actually kind of jealous about your job. I mean, you what a great job that you have.
It is
Lisa
a
Colgan, U.S. Director, Harvest Journeys. I'm guessing traditionally the Holy Land has been the most popular for Christians. And like you said, that's kind of closed off right now.
Right.
You mentioned Lourdes. What are some of the other really popular ones that people are choosing right now?
So Fatima would be one, just because that's a great Marian destination. Italy, Rome, always popular. You know, yeah. I think people kind of go in order. You know, if they know they can't go for that many pilgrimages, Holy Land, Rome, get the two major ones.
Then
kind of maybe fill in with some of the Marian ones. That's right. Usually how we see it, unless they have some sort of affinity or reason to go to a different one. Those are the most popular ones. Greece, following in the footsteps of St. Paul, Greece and Turkey. That's a really popular one too.
Mexico has been in the news the last couple of weeks for some of the things going on down there. Is Guadalupe open right now? Are you sending people down there?
It is.
Okay.
And we can. You know, there's a lot of fear surrounding it still. And so really it's just up to your comfort level. But our guides are there and they're on pilgrimage right now and everything's fine. And I was very surprised at that pilgrimage. I went to that pilgrimage in January. And seeing all the martyr sites from the Crucero War, that was very, very impactful. That happened
Miguel
in the
Pro
20s.
And, that was like 100 years ago.
Just happened in the 20s.
It's crazy.
And,
Lisa, I'm going to have to start wrapping this up now, but I really appreciate it. It's just such a great guest. You've got so much information. You came so well prepared. HarvestJourneys.com. Just take 30 seconds. If people are intrigued, what should they do once they get to that website?
So visit our website. If you're interested in joining a group of pilgrims on a pilgrimage, you can look at our series trips that are already there for you, already planned out. If you're interested in, you know, creating a custom pilgrimage, there's a form you can fill out that will come directly to me and I will get in touch with you and we'll plan your pilgrimage.
All right. Great to see you, neighbor.
Thanks, neighbor. Yeah,
thanks
for
so
having
much.
Me.
And thanks. You'll be hearing spots on the radio very soon for Harvest Journeys, but do visit that website, harvestjourneys.com, and appreciate Lisa taking the time to be with us. U.S. Director of Harvest Journeys, harvestjourneys.com is the website. Thanks also to Cecil Anderson. Thank you for listening and support Harvest Journeys and all of our sponsors because they help to keep Catholic Radio on the air so that we can have cool interviews and conversations like this. That'll do it. This is the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Have a great rest of your weekend. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week.
A decision to end a pregnancy affects more than just the mother. Men suffer that loss too, often in silence, sometimes for years. Project Joseph is a place for men to find peace, a confidential two-day retreat for men and led by men who understand the burden. This year, it's March 7th through the 8th and August 29th through the 30th. That burden is yours, but you can lay it down. Go to ProjectJosephDallas.org to find out how. Because you're not alone.
God gave you one body, and how you care for it matters. Hey, I'm Coach Brad Linder, Catholic husband, father of seven, and founder of...
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Catholic radio for your soul on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
About Mother Nature, they seem to have